Hello, so today we are talking about simplicity and teaching out of Matthew 6 verses 19 to 34. And today I think we are entering the lion's den. And I don't say that lightly, because today's teaching and the call to simplicity, I think, confronts head on the dominant idol of our age, the spiritual front line. So let me pray for us first. Lord, Heavenly Father, as we listen to this teaching on simplicity, help us to have hearts and minds open to your revelation. And help us to stand against the spirit of the age and to be refocused and wholeheartedly desiring of you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, what's the central message of this passage of Scripture? Well, it starts with Jesus saying that the very nature of the world is that you cannot build up treasure on earth, i.e. embrace the materialism, the consumerism of our age, and also build up treasure in heaven. It's simply impossible to have two key central focuses in our lives. As Jesus said, you can't have two masters. You can't have two masters for our time, for our energy, for our desires, our earthly resources, ultimately for our worship, the focus of our worship. We either invest in earthly things or we invest in heavenly things. And John Mark Comer, in the book that we are teaching and looking out of, I like the way that he says that Jesus, in saying this, isn't laying down a new law, a new command. He's just stating the way the world is. The way the world works is the fact that you can't have two masters. And then Jesus points out that if we should choose to build up earthly treasure in heaven, then ultimately it gets stolen, it rusts, it's worthless in the long run. Whereas, can we please be reminded, he says, that the heavenly treasure is eternal. Now, I was struggling with this, and we have a black lab, many of you know, called Archie. And we were take him for walks, and my wife noticed that how this resonates is that Archie will often find a stick, but he's not satisfied with just one stick. He will, if he finds a second stick, he wants both sticks. And very occasionally, he'll go for three sticks. But our walk is then totally disrupted at that point, because he spends his time dropping one stick and then trying to pick it up again. Or he gets distracted and he drops both sticks, and then he has to concentrate. How's he going to get both sticks into his mouth, because his mouth isn't quite big enough? Then he'll work it out, we'll trundle along for 10, 15 yards, and then he'll drop one of the sticks, and then he has to start all over again. And began to recognise that this was something of what Jesus is teaching about. Now, Archie can't carry and enjoy two sticks in his mouth at the same time. He's constantly dropping, trying to pick up, swapping one for the other, and he's spending more time trying to work out how to carry two sticks rather than just enjoying one stick on the walk. Perhaps that might give you an analogy to help you think about what we are talking about and how that might influence or affect you. Just as an aside, I wonder what you think heavenly treasure is. Jesus talks about heavenly treasure. Have you ever thought what that treasure really means? Well, I want to suggest that heavenly treasure is us being kingdom people. It's us and our acts of kindness. It's us expressing love. It's us showing mercy to those around us. It's us being compassionate. It's us in our relationships with one another. and it's the exercise of our godly character in a world full of challenge and difficulty. Heavenly Treasure, I believe, is us expressing ourselves as kingdom people in our communities, in our workplaces, in where we live, in our neighbourhoods, on our front lines. And I think that treasure in heaven is also expressed in Galatians 5 when we think of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, patience. Those, I think, are the treasures that God wants us to build in heaven. Now, the second half of this passage that was read, Jesus, interestingly, directly links the whole area of anxiety and worry with earthly treasure, this materialism, this consumerism of our age. He says, don't worry about your daily needs. Don't worry about earthly things. He says, first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will get sorted. Jesus says, if you focus on building up your earthly treasure, you're going to know worry and anxiety in a way that you don't need to. But if you focus on the kingdom, trust God, then you will have less and lower levels of worry. So Jesus' truth in this passage is he's telling us that just the way of the world is that we can't worship two masters. And he says that if you choose to worship or put our focus into earthly things, the materialism, stuff, consumerism, then we are also going to know worry and anxiety as well. So how are you feeling with all that? Can you relate to that? Does this really land in your thinking? I really struggle with this. Is Jesus really talking about me? I mean, you and I, we're not super rich people, are we? I don't know if you feel like you're actually building treasure up on earth. I guess most of us don't really think that we're overly indulgent or extravagant in our lives. We're getting the right balance, aren't we, between worshipping God and living a comfortable life. Is that you? Do you sort of resonate like that? I certainly really struggle. Is God really talking to me? Am I really overdoing the building up of treasure in this world? Well, let me challenge us for a moment, because actually, in reality, research shows that if you're listening to this, you and I are almost certainly in the top 10% of the richest people in the world. And in fact, most of us are probably pretty close to being in the top 1% of the richest people in the world. Now, that really stops me in my tracks, because even if I'm not in that 1%, but I'm in that 10% of the richest people in this world, if we're one of those and we think that Jesus isn't talking to us, who on earth is he talking to? The reality is that Jesus is talking to you and I, and we are building treasure on earth in a way that perhaps he's calling us to reshift our focus. So that is the problem that Jesus is confronting with us with in this passage. He is highlighting what I found myself writing, the dragon of our age. Treasure on earth, the materialism, the consumerism, the whole desire for stuff and money and riches in our world. And the problem that this gives us, why is this such an issue? It's because it impedes our ability. It impedes our desire for God. It impedes our time, impedes our money and our resources and our hearts and our thinking and our energy from fully engaging, fully worshipping, fully focusing on our God and being the kingdom people that he made you and me. Now look, my purpose this morning and during this teaching is not to beat us up. Please do not take a message of condemnation away. There is no big stick here, and there is no condemnation. We all find this really hard, but there is a challenge and an invitation for each of us to rethink how we do life. And particularly at this time of the pandemic, when there are things that we're being stirred with, and perhaps we have, some of us perhaps have a little bit more time, maybe we don't, but it is a time to re-look at how we do life. So what is the solution to this challenge, this problem which Jesus presents us with? Well, it is simplicity. It is the call to live a life of simplicity. And by living a life of simplicity, we confront the spirit of the age, that spirit of materialism and of and consumerism. Let me give you an example. So what is, before I get on to an example, but what is simplicity? Well, let me start by saying what it isn't. And I've to be honest, really found the book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, really helpful in this. So simplicity and living a life of simplicity is not about decluttering our cupboards per se, though yes it is. It's about decluttering our lives. It is not about being poor or living in poverty. Simplicity isn't about living in an empty house with no furniture or just one chair and just one table. It's not about living a joyless, boring, dull life. And it's not about not enjoying the material things that we might have. Simplicity is not those things. So what does a life of simplicity look like? What is this simplicity? Well, as I say, it's not a life of nothing, but it is a life of less. Joshua Becker, who's an author, says simplicity is the intentional promotion of things we most value and the removal of everything that distracts us from them. So simplicity is the intentional promotion of what we really value, but the removal of everything that distracts us from those things. It is about decluttering our life. Things as well as doing and concentrating on the things that are really important. To do the things that honour and glorify God, rather than just build up the things around us. The reality is that all of us, to varying degrees, have too much stuff. And we probably do too much stuff. And all that stuff that we own and the things that we do requires energy to manage it, to clean it, to use it, to maintain it, to ensure it, to give our time to it, to give our energy to it, to give our emotional, our thinking, our money, and a myriad of other ways in which we need to pay attention to those things. When we could be giving all that to God and to being kingdom people. Simplicity is about seeking first the kingdom of God and knowing and trusting and believing that God will provide for all our material and natural needs. Simplicity is about enabling our true needs to be met, not satisfying our fleshly desires. Now, I want to give you a personal example. I'm someone who really has always loved shirts, collared shirts, and nice smart shirts, check shirts, striped shirts, plain shirts. I've just loved those slightly formal shirts. And I've probably always had too many shirts. But 3 years ago, when I was training in Bristol, a smart gentleman's tailor shop had a sale, and I passed it a number of times, backwards and forwards from town and college. And I eventually went in, and for about £60, I was able to buy five new shirts. There was a pink shirt and a red and white striped and a blue and white shirt, and there was a checkered shirt. Love them. Had all those. So that was 3 years ago. At least one of those shirts is still in my drawer, undressed, unused, still in its brand new packaging. Well, that's just barking mad, isn't it? I've got too many shirts. It was great in the forces, and actually almost in my new career ordained, because there's a uniform and there's just one type of shirt, so it makes it much more simple. But I've also got all those shirts, and I have to choose which shirt. I have to invest energy in things, and I can sit sometimes and look at my closet, or have done in the past. I have to say I've done a clear out, but I have in the past sat and thought, oh, I don't know which shirt to wear, because there are so many really nice shirts. What if I just had four shirts? Then the choice is much easier. Which, let me ask you, anybody got a smartphone? Yeah, probably most of us have got smartphones. Tell me, how many apps have you got on there? How many apps do you really, really need on there? I mean, by the time you perhaps talk to me, you've got rid of the sports app and the BBC Sports and the Sky Sports and the fantasy football app. Then, of course, there's the Scrabble game and the Woody game and social media. Don't really do social media. But what about Snapchat and Instagram and text and tweets and Facebook and all those other different? Do we need all of them, or could we fine tune those? There are just a couple of ways in which perhaps we could declutter our lives. But here are a few more. What does simplicity actually mean? Well, there is the clearing out of the cupboards. How many gadgets have you got in your house that actually you don't really need? I've mentioned the mobile apps. What about ethical shopping? What about shopping more simply? What about just buying things that you only buy two shirts rather than five shirts? What about buying something, just one thing that may be more expensive, but it lasts longer, and rather than buying more regularly? Where has these things been made? Are they ethically made, some of these things? What about your hobbies? Are you doing the hobbies that you really thrive in and are really about you? Or have you got lots of activities and things that you sort of like doing, but it's not, they're just good activities or fun, play, and that's okay, but they're not necessarily the fullness of who you are. And what about Christmas this year? What about how we do Christmas and Christmas decorations and Christmas presents? Is there a simplicity about how we do Christmas this year? These are hard questions for all of us, and I'm not suggesting remotely these are easy. Some of us may need to make some radical shifts, clearing out our house with all sorts of things. Some of us just need to make small changes, removing some things from an app or removing some clothes. What radical or small things do you need to do? As I begin to finish, let me just remind you, simplicity isn't the answer to hurry or happiness in our modern world. But it is a posture towards modern life that enables us, or will result in us, being able to be more focused on God and to have more one master and be the kingdom people that we're called to. Simplicity is about abundant life. Simplicity is about freedom. It's not about slavery. It's living life to the full. It is carrying Jesus' light yoke and not the heavy burden. Less really is more. Can you hear the connection from Jesus' teaching, not just in this passage, but throughout his teaching? If by having lots of things, lots of activities, we are having to give of ourselves to those things, they call upon us. In fact, we become slave to them. Whereas living a life of simplicity brings freedom. It brings abundance. It brings life. John Mark Comer, in the book Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, says this: to follow Jesus, especially in the Western world, is to live in the tension between grateful, happy enjoyment of nice things and simplicity, and when in doubt, then on the side of generous, simple living. He's recognizing that there is a tension between a Western world with lots of beautiful things and a simple life. And we have a challenge to be able to do both. Simplicity is about releasing us from the burden of material world and giving us back our freedom by first seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and knowing that the God of our world, the God of creation, the God of eternity, will meet your needs. More freedom, less worry, and less hurry. Right now, you and I have everything in Christ that we need to live a happy and contented life. You have access to our Heavenly Father and his love and his attention. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and live in simple ways. Let me pray for us now. Heavenly Father, would you show us where we need to make radical change, or where we need to make some small changes, clear out our lives, declutter our activity, our diaries, our cupboards, enjoy the things that you have blessed us with, but be able to be freer, less hurried, less anxious, and more focused on you. In Jesus' name, amen.